Good morning, everyone. Happy fourth Sunday of Advent. I was here with you for the first Sunday of Advent, and now I'm here with the last Sunday of Advent. Maybe one of these years I'll be here at Christmas too, but that's not going to happen this year either because I leave to go back to New York tomorrow. And actually, unfortunately, this will come to the end of my time here at St. Joseph's because my program at Berkeley wrapped up this semester. So I will not just be leaving and then coming back. I'll be leaving pretty much for good, although I do hope to come back and visit in April. So I ask for your prayers. And it's very providential that the last time I'd be able to spend with you, we hear this gospel that speaks of how the birth of Jesus comes about through the lens, if you will, of St. Joseph. So it's very providential to be here at the Church of St. Joseph and to preach about our patron saint. And of course, during Christmas time, there are not that many Christmas readings. In fact, the infancy narratives only happen in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. So we hear them often. And of course, we hear them so often that we tend to kind of gloss over some of the minute details. But every single word in the scripture can ultimately be looked upon as being purposeful in some type of way. And if we look at how Joseph is described in this gospel, I think it could give us some insight as to how we as Christians are called to live our lives. Firstly, Joseph is known as a righteous man. He was a righteous man, and therefore he knew what was right. And the fact that he learned that his soon-to-be wife was pregnant, and he knew that he wasn't the father, he knew that to be right would be to somehow get out of this arrangement, to get out of this future marriage. He was righteous. Sometimes we also hear that he was just. A just man. And we also hear, once the angel Gabriel appears to Joseph, that he's given a title, if you will. Joseph, son of David. Son of David. So he's a righteous man, and he's a son of David. And why are those words so important in understanding who Joseph is? Because to be a righteous man, to be a righteous woman, to be a just man, a just woman, isn't simply just about knowing what's right and wrong. It's more fundamentally important in understanding who you are in relationship to God. Who you are in relationship to God. Joseph was righteous because he knew who God is, and he also knew who he was. He knew that he wasn't God. He understood his relationship to God. He understood that he did not play God. He was not in charge of his destiny, if you will. He did not will himself into existence. He wasn't responsible for his birth. Joseph is a righteous and just man because he understands who he is in relationship to God. And he stands in awe of that relationship. And in a very similar sense, as he's called the son of David, he understands that he participates in something much bigger than himself, a lineage that goes back to King David. And who he is actually as a human being is not singularly important. What is important is the fact that he comes from a royal house. Once again, something that he did not choose, nor something that he deserved. And when we think about that, we can understand why Joseph was the exact right fit for what was to be the Holy Family. Think about what he had working against him. the sinless Mother of God, and the Son of God. If there anything went wrong in the house, it was Joseph's fault. Only a man who was righteous and just and understood who he was in relationship to God and understood him playing a role in something bigger than himself could be able to humbly be able to be part of that family. And the key takeaway here is that Joseph was willing to become nothing. He was willing to become nothing. And that actually is what each one of us are called to become. Nothing. To enter into a state of nothingness. Even the great spiritual writers, St. John of the Cross, will talk about nada, nada, nada. Nothing, nothing, nothing. To enter into a state of nothingness. It's so nothing that there's absolutely no recorded words of Joseph anywhere in Scripture. We hear about his dreams, we hear about what he does, but he never actually speaks. He's so nothing, even within the Gospels. But the question is, why are we called to become nothing? It sounds to be kind of a downer. And especially in our world where we seek very hard to find meaning as to why we're here. And we work very hard at making sure that we're making an impact within our families, our friends, our society, our world, however you want to look at it. All of us are striving to understand what our vocation is. All of us are striving to be good people. I come from the world of UC Berkeley, where everyone is trying to change the world in some way, shape, or form. Yet, nothingness is what we're ultimately called to. How does that square with this innate desire to want to be someone of importance? And it boils down to this. Nothingness reveals to each and every one of us that God can and will use us to bring about something that we could never, ever accomplish on our own. That's why we're called to be nothing. Because if we have great dreams and great ideas, let's look at this dream. Joseph, you thought you were going to be able to be the husband of this young woman and to be able to walk with her on a journey of life together? If that was your dream, look at this dream. Your nothingness will bring something far greater than you could ever, ever imagine. You will have a role of bringing healing to the world through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our call to nothingness shows that each and every single person is a means of bringing about God's presence, His glory, His healing into a broken world. It's not just for a few people. It's not just for priests and religious. It's not just for the Pope or other very influential people in the world who have special, unique callings because they're very public about them. Every single person is a means of God's healing in the world. But the only way that we can be able to do that is to accept the fact that we can't do it. That there's nothing that we can do on our own power that can bring about changes in the world. We can't even change ourselves on our own. It's the great fallacy of our self-help culture that you can somehow fix yourself. You can't. Sure, all those things can give you techniques and means, but ultimately, until you're able to say, I give up, you will not be able to do what God wants for you to do. That is the great lesson of Joseph. That is why we call him saint. That is why he was honored to be part of the Holy Family. He knew who he was and he knew who he was not. And he accepted who he was not as a means of bringing his God, our God, into the world. That same God, Jesus, once again comes to us at this Mass. And while Joseph was the one to behold and care for the baby Jesus, we are actually given the honor of becoming one with that baby. Communion with that baby. The same Jesus born 2,000 years ago comes into us as a sure sign that we are not alone. As a sure sign that it's not about us mustering up the strength to be good people. As a sure sign that we're given everything we need to become the sons and daughters of God when we receive the Son of God and share in his sonship. That is what communion is. It is a way for us to once again claim our true identity. It is a way for us to be just and to be righteous in knowing who we are in relationship to God. So as these next couple days go, and we're going to be hit with lots of challenges, right? For all the joy of the Christmas season, we know that it brings lots of challenges. It's seeing people that we don't normally see. It's dealing with family friction. It's dealing with lots of things that could go wrong around the house. We all know we have lots of stuff on our mind. But the great thing is, though, none of us can possibly think we can fix or make everything perfect around Christmas time when we realize that it's all about the one who we celebrate, Jesus, who is given permission by each one of us to bring about the healing that's much needed in our world, and maybe more locally with our in-laws. So may God bless you. I will take you to prayer with me as I leave from here. And I guess just as a practical side, I'm going to be for 3 months in a monastery praying and discerning what the next step is the Lord has for me. I was on this track of getting this degree here and working in Catholic media, but maybe the Lord might have a different plan, because his dreams are far greater than any dream I could come up with. Amen. May God bless each and every one of you.